Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
All right, let's have some fun. Come on, church, come on.
Baby, lay on back and relax. Put your pretty feet up on my dash. No need to go nowhere fast. Let's enjoy right here where we at. Who knows where this road is supposed to lead? We got nothing but time. As long as you're right here next to me, everything's gonna be alright. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be. So won't you ride with me, ride with me. See where this thing goes. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, if it's meant to be. Come on, Sam.
Show me what you made of, boy, make me believe.
Oh, hold up, girl, don't you know you're beautiful, and it's easy to see.
If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be, baby, just let it be. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be, baby, just let it be. So won't you ride with me, ride with me, see where this thing goes. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be, baby, if it's meant to be. So won't you ride with me, ride with me, see where this thing goes. So come on, ride with me, baby, if it's meant to be. Maybe we do,
maybe we don't,
maybe we will,
maybe we won't.
But if it's meant to be, it'll be.
Just let it be,
come on.
If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be.
So won't you ride with me, and see where this thing goes. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, if it's meant to be. If it's meant to be,
it'll be,
it'll be.
Baby, if it's meant to be.
If it's meant to be,
I think we can show them a little bit more love than that. They did a fabulous job. Well done. I just want to do a special shout out to the gentleman who's right behind me, Trenton Jones. He plays the drums with heart and soul. This young man is a junior in high school and holding down the fort. Trenton, we love you. He hates that I'm doing that, but we love him anyways. You guys can take your seats. But we've been having fun over the last few weeks. If you're new to Champion Center and you're like, what is going on in this church? Maybe I should just let you know. We do something every summer called Summer Playlist. And that is where in June we offer up a bunch of songs. There's like 10 different songs. We present them to the church. And you all pick. You pick the song. We preach the message. So that's what we're doing today. And okay, so we've got some people here that love yourself some country music. Yep, some of you are like, never heard that song before. I understand. I really do. And out of the three times I've done a summer playlist song, I seem to have gotten country music two times out of the three. So I don't know what that says about me, but I'm going to give it my best shot today and bring you the word from this song, If It's Meant to Be. But how about we just look at the lyrics for a moment? How about this one? Baby, lay on back and relax. Oh boy, it's going to be a good one today. Let's enjoy right here where we at. I worked hard on that, just so you know. Who knows where this road is supposed to lead? We got nothing but time. as long as you're right here next to me, everything's gonna be all right. And everyone sitting next to their sweetheart just moved a little bit closer, right? Because if it's meant to be, it will be. Baby, just let it be. Turn to somebody and say, baby, just let it be. I know y'all been wanting to say that. So I'm going to say back to you, just come on and ride with me, ride. See where it goes. There you go. We're going to see where this thing goes. Hey, how about this? You know, I just want to start off with the message of this song. And really, the message of this song suggests that the world that we live in is a world that we have no control over. That somehow, something in the universe is going to determine the outcome of all of our opportunities. Like the outcome of your relationships. Will you stay friends? Will you marry? Will you stay married? How about the outcome of your career? Will you work a blue-collar job, white-collar job, civilian job, military job, have no job? Maybe the outcome of your finances. Will your family prosper and be incredibly blessed, or will you live in poverty? The outcome of where you might live. Will you own a home? Will you rent? Will it be the best part of town, the worst part of town? Or maybe even the outcome of the school that you might attend. You know, maybe you'll have the best teachers and facilities, access to the best programs, or the opposite. Maybe you'll have the worst teachers and the worst facilities, and there aren't any programs. The world would like to tell us we have nothing to do with any of this, that it's all out of our control. But I know that's not 100% true, and I think you do too. As we get started, I'd just love for you to say out loud, it's meant to be. Turn to the person next to you and say, meant to be. Now the other side, meant to be. The idea of it's meant to be, it will be, suggests that all of life is left up to chance. It's unguided, it's absent of any obvious design, yet somehow it is predetermined to be. You know, if you've been paying attention to the news at all over the news this last month, we've heard about some boys who were trapped in a cave in Thailand. I believe it was a soccer team and their coach went exploring one day. They went into a cave and they ended up 2.5 miles deep into this cave. That alone is pretty crazy. I would never even go 1 mile deep into a cave, let alone 2.5 miles. But these boys were on a mission. They went deep into this cave, and the rain fell. And there are many parts of the cave that were under the water table. So as that rain rushed in, it filled up the lower portion so much so that the boys couldn't get out. And I remember thinking about how, wow, I mean, how is it that we know about an event like this all the way over on the other side of the world in Thailand? The world rallied. I mean, people from even America, business owners in America said, what have we got to do to save these boys and their coach? And don't you just kind of love that? Don't you love the fact that we value life so much that it can be on the other side of the world and we're still going to move heaven and earth to rescue someone? I love that. But what I found most interesting in all of the news reports over the last few weeks that we've heard, I never heard a single news reporter say, if it's meant to be, it will be. Not one time. Because for some circumstances, like boys trapped in a cave, we do all that we can within our power of control to act. And we do it because we believe that if we do, we can affect the outcome. But then there are other circumstances. Maybe like your work environment, your terrible work environment, where it's very possible that you might surrender your power of control, refusing to act, believing that nothing's going to change. I'm not going to be able to do anything about this outcome, so I'm just going to accept it for right where it is. See, there's two tensions here. There's two tensions that we wrestle with when we look at this concept of if it's meant to be, it will be. Two beliefs. One of them is the belief that everything is predestined and beyond our control. The other belief is that we are in full control of every outcome. And I don't know. I don't know if we can always know in every circumstance what is meant to be. But I think it's really important that we do take a look at what we do have control over, and we take a look at what God has control over, and then spend some time this morning looking at how those two things, what we can control and what He can control, can work together. Does that sound good? So I'm going to break it down into 3 points. Are you ready? Turn to your neighbor and ask him, are you ready? Here she goes. Tell the other person, here she goes. Ready or not? Number one, your will determines what could be. See, my son Christian's here with me, and when he's always had, since he was a little boy, a desire to play college football, earn a scholarship. It's always been a big deal to him. Ever since he was really little, that's just, he set his goal on that, his sights on that, and that was what he was driven towards. When he was a freshman, he was playing basketball at his school, and during the game, he was going after a loose ball, and there was struggle between the two of them, and as he ripped that ball away, he felt something in his shoulder. And over time, it didn't get better, so we took him to the doctor and found out that he had torn some cartilage in his shoulder, and it just so happened that my son Christian plays quarterback, and guess which arm it was in? The throwing arm. If you don't know much about recruiting in high school, most of the decisions that are made by colleges of who they're going to give their scholarships to with athletes are done within their freshman and sophomore year. Sometimes they'll give one away junior, senior year, very rarely senior year. So those first 2 years of your high school experience are critical. And I remember the discouragement in Christian's face when he learned he was going to have surgery, and that meant that he probably wasn't going to be able to contend for a position at the varsity level his sophomore year, which meant he was going to play JV his entire sophomore year, which now he's thinking to himself means I'm never going to get a scholarship. They're going to pass me up. It could have looked like it was the end of his dream, but he was left with a choice. He was either going to accept that this would be the end for him, or he was going to push past the barrier and continue to believe that he could still earn a spot on a college team. Those are the two choices that are available to him. I'm proud of him because he chose to push past it, and I'm also proud of him because he did realize his dream of earning a scholarship and is able to play football. Now maybe, good job. I'm super happy that I'm not paying for college tuition, just so you know. Maybe it's not college football for you. Maybe you don't have that scholarship on the line, but you have some serious situations that you're navigating. And I want to encourage you that your will determines what could be. It could be over, or it could still be possible. The deciding factor is your will. And I think the lyrics of the song spoke to this. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. But here's what I want to say to you about this. When you are at a crossroads, like quitting or pressing on, the problem isn't the decision or the opportunity itself. It is our perspective of the opportunity. Here's what I mean by this. Will your effort make a difference? You got to decide that. Are you willing to give up on the outcome, or are you willing to continue to press through and believe that something good could come out of the situation if I will just keep my head down and keep going? See, when in the Bible we see a story where Jesus was walking along and he came across a man who was sitting at a pool. And when the water would start to move in this pool, it signaled a miraculous power that was happening. And the people who would get into this pool, the first one would be healed. Well, this man, when Jesus came across him, he had all kinds of perspective on why he wasn't healed. Well, I have nobody here to help me. I can't possibly get into that water first. Look at me. And Jesus just looked back at him and he said, "Are you willing to be healed?" And I think sometimes he's saying the same thing to you and I in our circumstance, in our situation. We're sitting back letting God's will be done, and Jesus is standing right next to us saying, are you willing to be healed? Because it's going to take an act of our will and our faith to move in his direction, and that's exactly what the man had to do. He said, yes, I'm willing. And Jesus said, then stand up right where you are right now. He didn't wait for the pool. He said, right now, right where you are, stand up. See, God's will is that we would will for his will to be done in our lives. I think you guys should have to say that too, because it's kind of hard to say. So I'm going to say it and you're going to repeat after me. Say, God's will is that we would will for his will to be done in our lives. Now, Moses talked to us about this. He reminded the Hebrews that they can exercise their will over their life in Deuteronomy 30. He says, I place before you life and death, blessing and curses. Choose life so that you and your children will live. And love God, your God, listening obediently to him, firmly embracing him. Choose life. The question shouting at you and at me today is, what do you will? God's not controlling your will. You do. He gave you your life, and he says, do something with it. Kind of sounds like parents today. Do something with yourself. He gave us opportunity, gave us gifts, he gave us talent, he gave us the air in our lungs to say, here's your life. Choose well. Choose blessing. Here's the plan. I love that. He gave us his word, and he says, here's the plan for you. It's this thing that we call the Bible. If you want to live your best life on this planet, open it up, read it, and choose the life you want to live. What do you will in your relationships? Some of you haven't been very successful in your relationships, and if we're not careful, it's always somebody else's reason why we're in a mess again. What do you will in your relationships? What do you will in your physical body? You want health? You want to be strong? What do you will? What do you will in your emotional health? What do you will in your spiritual growth? Your will is what you choose. And God gave us all the choice. What's meant to be is our will. Say, meant to be. Number two, God's will determines what could be. I know some of you right now are thinking, hey, she just said that for the first point. How is this possible that your will determines what could be and then God's will determines what could be? I promise you at the end of this message, I'm going to tie all that together. But hang with me for just a moment because I want to talk about God's will. Because some people believe that God's will is very, very narrow. It's very, very specific. Like if I was to have a huge target up here behind me, there would be a bullseye, you know, the really small circle in the middle, and that's God's will for your life. You have your whole life as this entire target, but God's will is just this tiny little piece right here in the middle. And you have to hit the specific spot in order to be in his will. And that sounds like maybe in your mind, there's just one person on this planet that I'm supposed to marry. And that was her. And she just walked out of my life. Or maybe it's the job. There's only one job that is the perfect job just for me. And they just let me go, downsized. Or maybe you're trying to buy a home. There was only one great house at a great price. Now, if you're in the Northwest right now and ridiculous housing market that we're in, I can understand that you might feel that way because it's crazy out there. But on a more serious note, maybe you're here and you want to have children and you haven't been able to have children. Maybe you think that there's only one way that God's going to bless you with a child through your own natural body. Maybe he has other plans. Most of us tend to overplay the importance of God's specific will over our lives. So here's what we do. We underestimate the value of knowing and doing God's universal will for all of our lives. And so you might be thinking to yourself, what is she talking about? 90% of God's will for my life is the same as 90% of God's will for your life. Now, if I was to take a Venn diagram, you remember those two overlapping circles? and I was to take my life and God's will for me and your life, there would almost be hardly any difference. They would almost be on top of one another. And you're like, how can I say that? I'll tell you why I can say that. Because his universal will for all of us is to love him, love others, read his word, and do what it says. That's it. That's true for you, and that's true for me. It looks like us pursuing his character or the fruit of the Spirit in your life. His will is that we would walk in the fruit of the Spirit, and that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Even in the parking lot after church, self-control. That's his will. It's not some great mystery. Now, there are specific things that we need to ask him about. You know, right before I met my husband, a guy entered my life. He was a really great guy. I mean, he checked off a lot of boxes of guys that I was looking for to, you know, a future mate, a husband, someone that I was like, man, I could marry this guy. I mean, he had just recently graduated from West Point Military Academy. He was an officer. He was stationed in Panama City, Florida. Had everything going for him. I mean, he lived in a great place, had a great career ahead of him. He was a handsome guy. I was living in Pullman at the time, going to WSU, and it was really cold in the winter. So when he offered to fly me out to Panama City, Florida, I was like, this must be the Lord Jesus. Right? I mean, the writing was right there on the wall. This guy must be for me. But as we grew deeper in conversation and got to know one another, I learned that he knew nothing of a relationship that was the most important relationship to me, and that was the one I have with my Savior Jesus. He didn't know him. And that put me in a tough spot. What am I going to do? I mean, this is a great guy. Maybe he's the one. I'll tell you, it was a deal breaker for me. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. You are a great man. You're a wonderful man. And you're probably going to make a great husband and a great father someday, but you're not for me. And he was so angry at me. So angry. So time went on, and I didn't really think much about it much more. And my husband, I was introduced to him about a couple months later, and we began dating. And then one day, I got a letter in the mail. Now, for all of you younger people, we used to do that. We actually got out a piece of paper and wrote our thoughts down and then wrapped up the paper and stuck it in an envelope and stuck this stamp on it and like sent it to somebody. And the only reason why we did that is because we didn't have email and cell phones and texting. We got that stuff now. I know I'm dating myself to tell you that stuff wasn't available to me back then. But I got this letter from him 6 months later. And he told me in his letter how angry he was that I had disqualified him because he didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And so he told me then, he went on to say that it sent him on a mission. I'm like, of course it did. You're military. Military is always going on a mission, right? Sent him on a mission to find out. Why was this relationship so important to her that she would be willing to not be in relationship with me? And I have great news. He went on to tell me that he figured it out, that he himself pursued a relationship with Jesus and accepted him as his personal Lord and Savior. Isn't that awesome? He ended up marrying a Christian girl. They got lots of kids, and they're raising them in the house of God. But here's the reason why I wouldn't marry him. It's possible he could have found Christ once we started dating. I don't know that. But for me, I want to tell you about my conviction about this. Excuse me. Philippians talks about the importance of like-mindedness. It says in Philippians 2:2, being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. I could not say that that was true for us. in Corinthians, it goes on to say that it speaks of an unbeliever not receiving the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. That he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And when I read these things in Scripture, I had to line up God's word with my will. And I knew that if my life partner did not share my faith in God and was pulling in a different direction than me, it was going to make it very difficult for us to be like-minded. I knew that it was going to lead to struggle and conflict. I mean, if you're not married, you're going to have, I just want you to know, you're going to have conflict. That's a guarantee in marriage. But I needed to know that in that conflict that we could work ourselves back to a place of like-mindedness. And I couldn't say with certainty that this would happen with this guy. Like, for me, I wanted to choose a life that brought blessing into it, one that honored God's way, his will for my life, not one that brought me unnecessary consequences and avoidable pain and avoidable hardship. I wanted what Psalm 112 says, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever." God paints a clear picture in his word of his will. That's his will. That's what I was aiming for, a life partner who could walk in that same blessing and favor. Now, I know there are some of you out there that might be thinking to yourself, I don't even know if I can listen to another thing she says because I'm so far out of the will of God and I've screwed this up so many times. I don't even know if I should try again. But I got to tell you something. Here's the amazing thing about God, and listen to this. Even when we don't get it right and when we step out of his will, he never stops working life for our good, ever. It's like GPS. You all know what I'm talking about. You plug in that destination you want to go, and you're talking or doing something, and you pass on by your turn. GPS doesn't look at you like, way to go, you screwed it up, you're on your own now. That's not how it works. GPS immediately starts thinking, okay, how do I get this person back on track? What are my options? How do I help them? How do I get them this direction, that direction? That's exactly what God does in our lives. He tells us that in Romans 8:28. He says, "And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love him." He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got something that's meant to be. Say meant to be. The last thing I'm going to share with you today is point number 3. And that is your will plus God's will equals what will be. Remember I said it earlier, God's will is that we would will for his will to be done in our lives. I want to look at the book of Ephesians as we close today. This is one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible, and I think it will really help bring some clarity in one verse how our will and his will come together. It says here in Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able," say able, "to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, which is infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work within us." Let's just start with the first part of that verse. "Now to him who is able." That speaks of God's will. That speaks of his ability to carry out purpose in our lives, right? So whether or not we see God's power at work in our life has nothing to do with his ability, because it clearly states right here that God has the ability to do the super abundant. Say super abundant. He has the ability to do that in our lives. That's his will for us. That's his will for us. That we live an over-the-top, blessed beyond measure kind of life. So you want to figure out how we get there? Let's look at the last part of the verse. It says, according to his power that is at work within us. See, God's power is limited or released by our will. We already know in the first part of the verse that he's able. So, his power at work in your life right now is dependent upon you. There are so many examples of God's power that was released in Scripture. For instance, there was a woman who believed that if she could just touch his garment, just touch the hem of his garment, that she would be healed. And it was so. There was a man who was blind who believed that if he could just get to Jesus, if Jesus would just speak to me, if he would pray for me, if he would touch me, I know that I will be healed. His will in action. Jesus' power met him right there, and it was so. There's also examples of a lack of faith that limited Christ's power. It says in Matthew 13 that Jesus marveled at the lack of faith in his own hometown. It goes on to say in that verse that he did not do many works of power there because of their unbelief. Everything God promises us in his word is available to us. Everything. But most of us, we don't access God's power. We don't access his power because we don't exercise our will. And it makes me think about when, you know, as a parent, I have a bank account, my husband had a bank account, and we have tremendous blessing in comparison to what my kids can do for themselves right now. We have a tremendous blessing. And as a parent, which is how I often view God, I would think about, he is my parent. He's my father. He wants blessings for me. I want blessings for my kids too. But just because I have the blessing doesn't mean my kids have access to it. Just because I have the bank account doesn't mean that my kids have access to it. I have to give them the access. I got them this little card, a little debit card, gave it to them and said, now if you need something, you can access this account. But here's the deal. If my kids do nothing with this card, they don't do their part to walk towards the blessing. It's like they're walking around with this incredible inheritance. But the card stays in their pocket. There's no power released in their life. And so much of our will is that way. We have our part to play in his power that is at work in us. We've got to trust. We have to believe. We have to do what he says in his word. We have to remind ourselves of the good that he has done in the past. I think to the children of Israel, who had many times where God blessed them. He would do amazing things for them. His power was magnificent. At one point, as Moses was leading them out of slavery in Egypt, they headed to the Jordan River, and they got there. They could see that the Egyptian army was coming behind them, and all of a sudden, boom, God puts up a barrier. Says, no, you're not reaching my people yet. Like 2 minutes later, they walk over to the water and be like, what are we going to do? Hello? He just provided for you fire, and now you're looking at the water 2 seconds later and saying, I don't know, God, what are you going to do to help us out? His power was there. His power has been present in your life. If you will stop and look back and think about all the times that he has been present with you. He wills blessing over your life. He wills blessing over your life. Some of you in this room have got to hear me say that. I hope it's a treasure you tuck away in your heart and you never let go of, because you're going to go through some stuff. There will be times when you have all the faith and trust and confidence in God that he is able to take care of your situation, and it doesn't happen the way you think it should. I know. I know what it's like to watch my cousin pass away at 26 years old of cancer, leave behind a 6-year-old little girl. That shouldn't happen. But that's the moment where we surrender and we know it's not my will, but yours be done. That's the moment when we trust in his will. Because here's the thing, even if he didn't spare his own son from suffering, there will be some things that he's not going to spare us from. But that doesn't mean the absence of his will. Sometimes, in order to get the purest form of gold, like if you want the purest form of gold, the person who is curating the gold has to heat it up to the point where the metal liquefies. And once the metal liquefies, all the junk comes up to the top and they scrape off the junk. But you know that gold never gets pure unless it walks through the fire. And the same is true for your life and my life. His will. Say meant to be. I'm going to go back to what I started with, and that is that culture would like us to believe that the world we live in is a world that we have no control over. That somehow something in the universe is going to determine the outcome of all of our opportunities. That life is left up to chance, unguided, absent of design, yet predetermined. That it's impossible to know God's will for your life. He's not present in all aspects. But I would argue against that with Psalm 46 that said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. He is present in our lives, and his desire is that his power would be at work right now in your situation. That is what is meant to be. I can stand up here before you with 100% confidence and say that for you right now, whatever you brought into this room, whatever circumstance you're facing, it is God's will that he be present in your life. He may not rescue you from that circumstance, but he promises you that he would never leave you and he would never forsake you, and that he will be a good father and walk out that circumstance with you. If you receive this word that I shared with you today, I'd just like to pray with you. If you just lift up both hands and say, God, help me. God, help us be better. We're just lifting up our hands to you right now. God, help us to not lose sight of the power that we have to choose well. God, you have created us in such a way that you have provided an opportunity for us to live our very, very best, blessed life. God, I pray right now that it would just stir up in every single heart in this building. God, that they would choose your way, that they would live the life of blessing, that they would say no to what is good so they could say yes to what is great. God, what lines up with what you would have for our lives? And so, God, we lean into this word today. We ask that it would change us from the inside out. That it would transform us. In Jesus' name. If you just keep your heads bowed right now, I want to speak to people in the room who God is calling you to follow him. You know who you are. Even throughout this message, maybe from the moment you stepped onto this parking, the parking lot and came into this building, you felt his tug. It's called the Holy Spirit, and it nudges you from the inside, letting you know God's present, he's here, and that he knows who you are and where you are right now. The Bible says that the very hairs on your head are numbered, that God knows you intimately like that. And he longs for a relationship with you. You don't have to struggle your whole life feeling isolated and alone. And that's regardless of your circumstance. Maybe you are alone. Maybe you've been abandoned by your family. But I want to encourage you today, if you've never made a decision to make Jesus Christ the leader and the Lord of your life, I'm going to pray a prayer in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me, and I'm going to give you the opportunity for you to have a brand new start in life. Maybe you've walked away from God and you once served him, but you find yourself today sitting here feeling the conviction that, man, I need to get back into that place of right standing with God. I want to pray with you. Here's what I'm going to ask of you. If you're in the room and you would say, I'd like that fresh start, I'd like for you just to lift your hand so I can see who I'm praying with today. I see your hands going up. Yep, I see your hands going up. Thank you, God, for this moment that you give us a fresh start. And we don't have to stay the way we are. Thank you, God. Let's just, as a sign of all the believers in the room who've prayed this prayer, we're gonna join those who may be praying it for the very first time. So if you would just repeat after me and say, Lord Jesus, welcome to my world. I invite you into my life to be my leader and my Lord. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin, and I boldly declare that I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we celebrate with all those who made that decision? We're so excited for you.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select Give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.